Breaking news, a woman kidnapped near Crabtree Valley Mall. I'm live with where she was found and what scanner traffic is revealing about this case.
A disturbing case in a quiet Chatham County neighborhood. A 50-year-old man accused of luring in and sexually assaulting a girl with intellectual disabilities.
Plus, a local parent sent to multiple stores to find medicine for his sick children.
Apparently, there wasn't any to be found for miles and miles at a CVS.
We looked into how widespread the amoxicillin shortage still is.
A level 2 risk means tomorrow is a WRAL weather alert day. See the newest timing for 2 possible rounds of storms.
Right now it's 7 o'clock, a gorgeous evening across our area. You don't have to take my word for it. How about the Shawna Beaufort?
It's gorgeous.
Oh my gosh.
For sure.
It always looks nice on the water this time of the evening. Good evening and thanks for being with us. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. Unfortunately, tomorrow we do have a WRAL weather alert day. This is a look at Futurecast. We have a level 2 risk for severe storms throughout the day. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the timing and what we can expect, Kat.
The timing unusual for tomorrow's event. Still, we have the threat for severe storms, and this is mainly due to the threat for damaging wind gusts, but we can't rule out hail or an isolated tornado. It's a level 2 out of 5 threat for severe storms tomorrow, and that's why it's a WRAL weather alert day. All due to this system approaching from the west, this system has been producing severe weather today, and we're going to see a line of storms cross over the North Carolina mountains overnight into very early tomorrow morning. That line of storms will try to hold together as it pushes into central North Carolina. And the consensus and data that we've seen today really showing that this has a good chance of holding together, bringing some storms into the area between about 8 a.m. and noon. There would be the potential for severe storms, mainly strong winds with this initial batch, but we actually want to see as much rain as possible in the morning because that would help to limit how much energy there is for the second round of storms during the afternoon. They're not as widespread, but any storms that we see in the northern part of our viewing area could be severe during the afternoon and early evening. I'll have a closer look at Futurecast coming up.
We'll talk to you soon, Kat. Thank you.
We continue to follow breaking news in Raleigh, where police have confirmed now a woman was kidnapped this afternoon on Turner Street. Police saying also that she did not know her attacker. WRL's Aaron Thomas has been on that scene for the past couple of hours getting information. Aaron joining us live. Investigators, Aaron, just towing the car away, that the victim's car. What else do we know at this point?
Yeah, that's correct, Dan. So this scene cleared within the past 30 minutes, and we're actually getting a look at where investigators focus much of their attention. It was behind this home on Turner Street. We believe it looks a little abandoned, and there's a lot of debris that's scattered throughout here. You can also see the tire tracks of where they removed this vehicle just minutes ago. In fact, WREL was the only news crew to capture the moment investigators had a tow truck remove that vehicle on scene. We're going to show you that moment right now. We saw a white Cadillac being towed away here on Turner Street. According to police scanner traffic, this vehicle is registered to the woman who says that she was kidnapped and taken by the suspect. We noticed that one of the tires was missing from the front passenger side. Raleigh police said that there's no present threat to the community, and thankfully no one was hurt, but questions do remain as to what led the kidnapper and the victim here. Of course, this is a story we've been following for hours and will continue on our late news beginning at 10 on Fox 50. We're actually going to be hearing from an NC State student who lives on this street, because NC State is just, you know, literally a throne's throw away. He tells us what he heard and saw this victim go through and where this investigation stands.
Yeah, a lot of unanswered questions, but a scary situation. Aaron Thomas, live for us in Raleigh. Thanks, Aaron.
New information tonight in the disappearance of Moore County woman Alicia Watts. After weeks of growing frustrations from family members, Charlotte Mecklenburg police are finally addressing concerns. They say they are working to piece together a timeline of Alicia's last known whereabouts. The captain is giving an update tonight on where the investigation stands when it comes to her boyfriend, James Dunmore.
Is James Dunmore a person of interest?
So person of interest is kind of a, you know, it can mean a lot of different things. Anybody who's connected with Alicia in any way is of interest to us. And I can tell you that he has not been taken into custody by us.
The captain adds a missing persons investigation can go in many directions, but what's most important right now is to follow leads and put things to rest as quickly as possible.
One woman is in the hospital after being shot outside of the Wake County Human Services building. This is video from Sky 5 at the scene this afternoon. Now police are searching for the person who pulled the trigger in this shooting. WRL's Brett Neese spoke with someone who watched it happen.
The woman I spoke with says everything happened very fast outside this entrance, and now she's just hopeful that the woman that was shot will be okay.
Just after 1 p.m., this is what the scene looked like outside the Wake County Human Services building.
I was really like, is this really happening? You know what I mean? I wasn't really frozen, like scared. It was more like, what's about to go on next?
Art Lucas says she watched all of this unfold. She says the female shooter ran out of the building at a woman who was walking up to the door and started hitting her. Moments later, a single gunshot went off.
When she shot her, she hit the ground. And when the lady hit the ground, she was just like, you know, I've been shot. She's screaming. I grabbed my phone. I called 911.
Before she could do that, she watched the shooter continue to point the gun at the other woman.
After she shot her, she stood there and watched her hit the ground. When she watched her hit the ground, she was thinking about shooting her again. Like she was really going to shoot her again. But she just noticed everyone was coming out, so she ran.
Police and an ambulance responded quickly. The woman who was shot was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. Sky 5 flew over the scene where crime scene tape blocked off the entrance and much of the parking lot while investigators collected evidence.
I don't want her to die. Honestly, that was what was going in my head. I just don't want her to die. It just looked like she didn't deserve it.
I'm working to learn the names of both women involved in this and if they're related. I'll stay on top of the story and keep you updated. In Raleigh, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
Today, loved ones said their final goodbye to an 8-year-old girl who was shot at her babysitter's home on July 25th. Genesis Dockery's funeral was held this morning in Cumberland County. The family's attorney tells us an 11-year-old shot her. So far, no charges have been filed in the case. The attorney says the death of the child goes beyond the 11-year-old who brought the weapon to the home.
That's very concerning, and not just the 11-year-old who pulled the trigger in this matter. We want accountability for those who enabled or allowed this 11-year-old to gain access to a weapon.
The Cumberland County Sheriff's Office says it's still processing information and evidence in this case before making a decision about potential charges.
I'm Matt Tallhelm in the WRAL Live Center. Two women are facing charges after a 10-year-old shot a 1-year-old. This is a picture of the gun shared with us by Edgecombe County Sheriff's Office. You can see it right here. I want to show you these two women. They were both arrested and are facing charges. On the left of your screen, that is Tasha Mayo. She is 48 years old. On the right side, Yasmeen Mayo. She's 26, both from Rocky Mount. We're told that investigators believe that 10-year-old child was able to get a hold of a gun that was loaded. It was accidentally left out, and then that child accidentally shot that 1-year-old child. These two women live in that house. They are now charged in connection with failing to secure that big gun that you see right there that was left there on that house. Again, Edgecombe County Sheriff's asking anyone to secure your firearms so children can't get a hold of them.
Oh my goodness, Matt. Keep us updated. Thank you. Now to a difficult and frankly a disturbing case out of Chatham County this afternoon. A 50-year-old man accused of some horrendous crimes, kidnapping and sexually assaulting an intellectually disabled teenager. WRL's Eric Miller has been looking into this case today and has more.
You can see it right there in black and white. Three charges tying 50-year-old Jeffrey Trujillo to this disturbing day 2 months ago.
It started with a missing girl. The Chatham County Sheriff's Office says on June 9th, an unnamed 16-year-old with intellectual disabilities was reported missing. She was found not long after, walking home through New Hill. The girl told investigators that 50-year-old Jeffrey Trujillo reached out to her before showing up outside her grandparents' home and coercing her into his car. He then took her to an unnamed location before sexually assaulting her and then dropping her off. The Sheriff's Office says the girl was taken for testing and data from Trujillo's phone backed up her story. Trujillo is now out on a $100,000 bond and facing charges of first-degree kidnapping and crimes against nature.
Trujillo is due back in court here in Chatham County on August 28th. In Pittsburgh, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
State Health Secretary Cody Kinsley is calling on state lawmakers to let Medicaid expansion go into effect by October 1st. Lawmakers approved the expansion back in March, but they made it dependent on approving a state budget. That budget is more than a month late, and negotiations have reached a stalemate. Medicaid expansion could be delayed until December if they don't reach a deal this month. Kinsley said if they don't reach that deal, they should change the law to let Medicaid expansion start without it.
Give me one sentence of authority, shove it in any other bill, and let's get this done, because we can still stick the landing on October 1, and we have got to get it done for people. Lives are hanging in the balance.
Kinsley said expansion is expected to provide health care coverage for more than 500,000 people, and 4 out of 5 of them are lower-income workers who cannot afford to buy insurance. The federal government and health care providers will cover the cost, so not state taxpayer dollars.
A fire at a Durham church did not crush the congregation's spirits. It strengthened them. After the break, how the church is continuing to serve the community despite the damage to their place of worship. Plus, one local dad having trouble tracking down a popular antibiotic for his sick children. WRL's Monica Casey will introduce us to a pharmacy owner about why this medicine is in short supply on shelves.
A Durham church is persistent in serving others even after a devastating fire destroyed the church. The members at Greater Walton United Holy Church held their weekly food giveaway in their parking lot. On Wednesdays and Thursdays, the church partners with Interfaith Food Shuttle to provide food. Those efforts feed about 900 families a month. The giving continued this week despite a fire destroying the church on Saturday.
This is what the fire did. The fire destroyed this building, but it did not destroy our faith. Our faith has been inflamed.
Look at all that damage. The cause of the fire remains under investigation. Pastor Moore says the church hopes to rebuild in about a year.
It's been a frustrating few months for parents trying to find medicine for their children. Just this past fall, we saw shortages of things like Tamiflu, issues with over-the-counter medication like Tylenol. According to the FDA, certain doses now of amoxicillin are in short supply. WRAL's Monica Casey shows us how pharmacists are dealing with these shortages.
CVS Pharmacy tells me they are affected by this industry-wide shortage of amoxicillin, and they're working with manufacturers to replenish as quickly as possible. Other pharmacists tell me that is not the only drug that's been difficult to find.
John Gilliam is a father of 2 children struggling with ear infections right now. He also works at WREL. When he tried to fill their prescriptions for 400 milligrams of amoxicillin, he was told by the CVS pharmacy they didn't have any.
They apparently only had the dosage for people who are at higher weights than both my kids. My daughter is 9 and my son is 6. So they're both well under 100 pounds. And apparently there wasn't any to be found for miles and miles at a CVS.
Health Park Pharmacy owner and manager Steve Atkins says he's seen some short-term back orders for antibiotics.
Hopefully those will be back in stock, you know, once we start to see our first major cough and cold events, typically about a week or two after the state fair.
He says shortages have been an issue since the pandemic, and pharmacists have had to get creative.
One of the first things that we had some major issues with was a lot with the concentration of the antiviral that's used for influenza, and kind of had to fall back on a formulation that we had used during the H1N1 days.
Some of the most difficult drugs to come by are those to treat ADHD.
We've had insistent outages of all forms of stimulants. Adderall is consistently inconsistent with whether it's shortage with the short acting, shortages with long acting medication.
In Durham, Monica Casey, WRAL News.
Meantime, the FDA's website says that the shortages of certain doses and brands of amoxicillin are mostly due to an increase in demand.
For the last few weeks, we've been telling you about overnight spikes in gas prices. Finally, we are seeing signs those prices are dropping. New numbers from AAA show the average price of gas in North Carolina is $3.60. That price holding steady. It's 1 cent lower than yesterday and 1 cent above 1 week ago. It's also much lower than the national average, which is $3.83, up 3 cents from last week. Experts say we could consistently see lower prices by late September.
Your car insurance is about to go up. What isn't going up nowadays? It's not going to happen all at once, though. But in February, insurance companies asked the state for permission to raise rates an average of 28.4% next year. The insurance commissioner says his office has reached a settlement that isn't quite as high. Drivers statewide will see an average increase of 4.5% this year. That's a lot lower than percentage in the 20s, but it is an increase, and another 4.5% next year, and that adds up. The State Department of Insurance says inflation and driving habits are factors. You'll first notice the increase in December.
Conservation groups are celebrating a big victory in the preservation of one of North Carolina's most endangered animals. The historic settlement requires the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to recommit to the conservation and recovery of the world's only wild red wolf population. In recent years, the population dropped to just 7 known wild wolves. Under the agreement, the agency has to develop yearly plans to release captive red wolves back into the wild for the next 8 years.
Are those beautiful animals?
I know.
Or what?
Especially the puppy is so cute.
I know, but they have like a mystery to them. They're just such a look at that picture.
Yeah, they are beautiful.
Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. Holy cow.
Look at that.
Yeah,
beautiful.
It'd be nice to be on the greens right now, yeah. But Kat, we do have some weather changing in our near future.
Hopefully people could get out and play some golf today. You had today, you had yesterday. Both were beautiful days. Tomorrow, not so much. By this time tomorrow evening, I think that people would be fine to be out golfing. But early in the day, we have two possible rounds of rain and storms. The first, 8 a.m. through noon. The second, 1 through 5 o'clock. And those may not be as widespread for round two, but they could be severe. A level 2 out of 5 threat for severe storms tomorrow. Damaging wind gusts is going to be the main concern. Hail and an isolated tornado can't be ruled out, though. If we look at future cast for 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, you could wake up to some rain early for the morning commute, mainly across the western part of our viewing area. It looks like the best chance would be 9 to 11 in the triangle. And this line could have strong winds as it moves through along the leading edge and some heavy rain as it pushes through the area. Should be out of here by noon. There could be some breaks in the line, so keep that in mind. But we actually want to see more rain in the morning tomorrow, because that's going to limit how much energy there would be left in the atmosphere ahead of this round that tries to develop. I don't think that this round is going to be as widespread as round number one, but this round does have a greater severe weather threat, or at least potential, as we head into tomorrow afternoon and evening. A lot of that is really going to depend on how much rain we see in the morning to kind of wash out that energy ahead of this line. The way it looks right now, though, there would still be a threat for a few strong to severe storms tomorrow afternoon. Just not quite as many out there. And on future casts, things quiet down after the evening commute. Here's our complex of thunderstorms right now. We got a couple areas that we're watching, tornado watch, and then also strong storms in northern Alabama and Tennessee. And it's this area we're going to be watching to push in overnight and arrive in the western part of our state by early tomorrow morning. Outside tonight, it is nice and quiet out at the DBAP, 85 degrees. A lot of people out there can't quite see them with the sun in the distance there, but a popular night at the DBAP. Kids eat free. They've got Bark in the Park coming up tomorrow. 85 in Raleigh and 88 degrees in Durham at this hour. If you're headed out to get some exercise, temperatures stay in the lower 80s at 8 o'clock. And a late night walk or jog, temperatures should be in the 70s by that time. We will see clouds roll in overnight into early tomorrow. Low temperatures not as low as they were last night and this morning. We'll be back in the upper 60s in a couple spots, but low 70s for most of us. And highs tomorrow range from the mid-80s to about 90 degrees. Once we get past tomorrow, the heat is back for the weekend. There's only a 20% chance for rain Friday, up to 92 for the high. But look at Saturday and Sunday, 96 degrees, our forecast high for the weekend. It's going to be very humid this weekend. The heat index could easily get over 105. We're going to be watching Sunday for more potential storms. And given how hot and humid it's going to be, we're probably going to have some energy around. And we'll have to watch out for severe storms on Monday. But about a week from today, we could have another nice storm. Drop in humidity on the way to look forward to.
Yeah, we do look forward to that. Thanks, Kat.
Beyonce set to take the stage tonight at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte.
After the break, a look at the special gift she received ahead of tonight's performance.
This is going to be a special weekend for stargazers. This isn't the Beyonce story yet, but we're talking stargazers, professional or otherwise.
The Perseid meteor shower hits its peak on August 12th and 13th. Officials say dozens of meteors will zoom through the sky per hour. So to get the best looks of this, people are advised to find an area with little to no light pollution and hope that it's a cloud-free day. The Perseid meteor shower ends on September 1st, which is the meteorological start of the fall season. You know when would have been a great day for the Perseid meteor shower was this past Monday night when the power was out just for so many people.
That's a good point. Yeah, a little silver lining. That would have been great.
It's time to clear those shelters. Today, participating shelter spotlight is for Cumberland County Animal Services.
We want you to meet Sassy.
Aww.
Okay, she's truly a princess who really needs to be the only cat in the house, okay? She doesn't like companions. Her beauty just can't be denied. And then on the right, that's Oppenheimer, a 10-month-old border collie mix. No, he's not a nuclear physicist, but he is looking adorable and looking for a new home. Even if you can't adopt right now, you don't have room in the house, that's fine. You can still help a homeless pet to find a shelter wish list, including items that they need, volunteer opportunities as well, WRL.com/shelters. Hop on and check it out. So a store in Florida sold that huge $1.5 billion Mega Millions ticket. Florida.
$1.5 billion. Still, though, a few North Carolinians won some smaller prizes. A store in Wilmington sold a $2 million winner. The ticket matched the number of all five white balls. Two others won $10,000. A store in Burlington and a store in Cherryville sold those. Winners have 6 months to claim their prizes. This Mega Millions cycle, which started in April, raised $25 million for education around our state.
I won a $5 scratch off the other day.
Oh, good for you.
I was ecstatic. It cost me $5, but we're back to even.
Exactly. The Carolina Panthers will kick off the preseason this Saturday against the New York Jets.
It'll be our first look at QB Bryce Young in a game setting. You can watch all the action at Bank of America Stadium on WRAL. That's Saturday at 4 p.m. Then live reports from Chris on our news right after the game. People are looking forward to big things from the
including
new QB.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Beyonce is set to take the stage in just about 30 minutes at Bank of America Stadium.
Today she received a warm welcome ahead of her concert. Take a look at this. It's an Instagram video of the team giving them some jerseys.
Blue Ivy got hooked up too. A little Jay-Z and Beyonce. Hey, thanks for being with us tonight here on WRL News.
Keep watching WRL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.